Are any of you afraid of being alone? Hello, my name is Lucas, and for as long as I can remember, being alone has been one of my biggest fears. Until recently, I was in company. I lived with my wife in this huge house that we had recently moved into. Things with Natasha didn't work out the way I would have liked, and she just left me. After a big fight we had, Natasha took her things and left the house. Don't think I wouldn't like to get back together with her, I do. I try to call her every chance I get, but she never picks up. After sending her WhatsApp messages, at first all my messages would reach her and she wouldn't answer me, but after a few days, the messages just stopped reaching them, so I have to assume that she changed her cell phone. Anyway, the days without her were getting longer and longer. I missed her a lot and didn't feel like doing anything without her. I didn't say anything to my friends or family. I hid what happened with Natasha as if it was the darkest secret possible. I knew they wouldn't understand me. I knew they would surely judge me. As the days went by, I felt like I was getting used to being alone. I mean, I still didn't like it, but I wasn't as terrified as I used to be. And it was in those moments of learning to accept my loneliness that I realized something. Maybe I wasn't alone. You know, I can't explain the feeling I had from that night on, but I felt like I was being watched at all times. To make it worse, I feared I was becoming paranoid, but I could swear that many times I heard doors open in places in the room where I was not. Things seemed to be put in a different place, and more than anything, I would hear footsteps in different parts of the house. I remember how every time something like this happened, I would say the same thing to myself. You are imagining things. Surely this is due to being alone. Or surely it is some noise coming from outside. All these excuses helped me feel better temporarily. Until one night. One night I could no longer deny what was happening. The night I saw someone in my house. A few hours earlier, I had fallen asleep on the couch. When I fought with Natasha, I always ended up there, but it didn't bother me since I could fall asleep watching TV. Living alone, you could imagine that I fell asleep almost every night with the TV on without even putting one in the room. I remember that when I woke up, the clock next to me showed that it was after 4 in the morning. I am normally a very deep sleeper, so I never woke up on my own at that time, and that night was no exception. Something had woken me up. At first, I thought it was the sound of the television, but it was off. Before I fall asleep, I usually set the TV to turn off automatically about 2 hours later so I don't leave it on all night. I woke up wondering what could have woken me up at that time. I felt it was a person's voice. Were they trying to rob me? No, they definitely would have made more noise. I raised my head from the couch and to my surprise, I saw a figure coming from the hallway. It was a female figure that looked very familiar to me. Was it? I ran towards where the figure was coming from, but I didn't see anyone. I went into my room. Had Natasha appeared? Why wouldn't she tell me anything? Was she playing a joke on me, or had I dreamt about her and the sound was the work of my imagination? To make matters worse, I tried to turn on the light and it didn't work. I looked out the window and the power cut was general. I guess I couldn't have such bad timing. With the light off and only my cell phone light, I looked for her everywhere. I was sure of what I had seen, and if there was someone in the house, I would find her. After a few minutes of intense searching, I was sure that there was no one in the room, confirming that there was no one in the house either. In the end, it seems that it had all been a dream. I took advantage of being in the room and threw myself on the bed, which was more comfortable than the couch. I closed my eyes and was about to fall asleep until something made me open my eyes again. I felt that someone was lying next to me. I turned over nervously, but the bed was empty. I was quite uncomfortable and nervous. This was not a dream. What had happened? I decided I had to calm down, so I went to the kitchen. A soda would do me good. I turned on the kitchen light and grabbed a soda from the fridge. I sat down in the dining room to drink it. This whole Natasha leaving me thing had gone too far. Maybe it was time to let go. What would she think if she saw me now anyway? Not being able to sleep at night, thinking there were ghosts in the house? I always put her first, but maybe, just maybe, it was time to put me first. Hey, it's me again. As far as I can see, you don't get my messages. You probably changed your number or something. In case you happen to see this message, I just wanted to tell you that I'm sorry. I don't know if you left for something in particular or if you just got bored of me, but I always wanted... I'm sorry. I always wanted the best for you. And if what's best for you is to be without me, I understand. Once I sent the message, I felt sad, but at the same time, liberated. I knew I had made the right decision, and even though I knew that the message might never reach them, And even though I knew that the message might never reach her, it helped me to try to start over again. From now on, things were going to be better. Suddenly, I noticed someone banging on my door. Who could it be? A concerned family member? A friend who wanted to know about me? I got up to open the door, but I saw something in the hallway. A person. But it wasn't just anyone. It was Natasha. What was wrong with her? One of her eyes was twitching, her head was open, and drool was coming out of her mouth. Was I going crazy? The knocking on the door got louder and louder, but I had to follow Natasha. I approached her, and she started walking. I followed her to the basement door, and she just stood there looking at me and crying. I tried to approach her, but the pounding on the door turned into kicks. The noise from the door was intolerable. I fell to the floor, dizzy. I couldn't take another step in Natasha's direction. I looked up once more, but she was next to me. Her face was terrifying. This was not the Natasha I knew. Her skin had turned gray and emanated a foul, putrid smell. Her mouth was wide open and her whole head and face were filled with blood. This was a monster. None of it could be true. It was a dream, but I didn't know how to wake up. I slapped myself in the face. I had to wake up somehow. Natasha grabbed me by the neck with one hand and lifted me easily, only to throw me a few feet back into the kitchen. My only reaction was confusion and sadness. I cried nonstop without understanding what was happening. I looked ahead once more and Natasha was gone, but the danger was not over. She was no longer alone. The place was full of people. They were cops. They all started to search the house. After a few seconds, two of them came out of the basement and said things that I didn't understand. Confused, I watched as one of them put handcuffs on my hands, said something I didn't understand, and took me to his car. I was scared. I didn't know what was happening to me or why. I just hoped that wherever I was, Natasha would be okay.
And will that man pay for what he did to Natasha?
I don't think so. He won't go to jail. His mental state is highly deteriorated. He's completely out of his mind. His lawyer will have him committed to a mental institution. But that's ridiculous. You've already found the tapes. You can see perfectly how the psychopath pushes Natasha and her neck breaks. Do you know what it's like for a father to see the moment when his daughter dies? The moment when he takes her corpse to a cellar to rot? How do you want it to go on after that?
My daughter just wanted to escape from that violent monster. And that's why she ended up dead. Lucas should rot and come in jail.
I know, and I agree, but that's not how the protocol works. I'm sorry, but to tell you the truth, I don't think Lucas realizes whether he's in jail or an insane asylum. That man's sanity died along with Natasha. As far as he can go, he can be considered a living dead man.
Hello, my name is Lucas. I'm a very distrustful man who's basically afraid of everything. This is not by chance, since someone chased me when I was a kid, and I'm still afraid that he'll find me. This someone became a part of my day, and every time I look in the mirror, I'm afraid I'll see him peeking out, waiting for the opportunity to kill me. Everything started on a Saturday night. That night, my parents had an important engagement and couldn't take me with them, so I stayed home alone. I was 12 years old at the time, and although I felt pretty big and capable of handling myself, my parents were very hesitant to go without me. Luckily for me, the trip came up at the last minute, and no babysitter was available, so they had no choice but to leave me alone. After instructing me that they had left food on the stove and all the phone numbers to call in case something happened, they began to get ready to leave. I was really excited. I had the house all to myself. Obviously, I wasn't going to have a party or anything like that. Being 12 years old, there was really no real way to take advantage of being alone. But you know, that's not what it was all about. What mattered to me was having the freedom to be alone, to have no one tell me what time to go to bed or when to eat. I was happy because from that day on, I was sure I would always be left alone. Once my parents left, I stayed in my room, trying to distract myself with TV and some games, but I couldn't help but feel restless. I admit that my first experience of being alone was a little more frightening than I had expected. The house was too quiet, and every little noise made my hair stand on end. At the time, I couldn't help but think that this was because it was my first time being alone. I would eventually get used to it, but I could never get used to what happened next. A while passed and I realized that I needed to go to the bathroom. I tried to ignore my fear of having to go down the dark hallway, but finally, I couldn't stand it any longer and plucked up the courage to leave my room. I walked down the hallway slowly, trying not to make noise, but all my footsteps sounded loud on the wood and made more sound than normal walking. I decided to keep the fear from overcoming me, so I ran at full speed towards the bathroom, as if trying to fool someone who was in the dark, waiting to attack me. I reached the bathroom and turned on the light, feeling a bit of relief to see that everything was in order. Just as I was about to finish, I heard a noise coming from the living room, and I stood still, trying to listen better. What was that noise? Had something fallen? Or had someone entered the house? I stayed focused, trying to hear another noise, and even though I didn't want it to happen, I managed to hear something else. Something much the laughter of a child. Something as simple as the laughter of a child who could easily be my neighbor left me terrified. My muscles tensed and my heart began to pound. Who the hell would be laughing in my house at this time of night? I left the bathroom and headed towards the living room, trying not to make a sound. With each step, the laughter grew louder and clearer. The laughter was going back and forth as if it was running and laughing for no reason. When I reached the living room, I froze. In the center of the room, standing next to the couch, was a man. A man I didn't recognize. He was staring up at the ceiling, a twisted smile on his face. My first impulse was to scream, but something in me stopped. What if this man was dangerous? What if he had a gun? I stood still, watching him in fear. Surely an adult would have acted better, but what could a little boy like me do? The man finally looked down at me, and his smile widened even more. Then he spoke, but his voice was strange, but familiar. It was the child's voice I heard before. It was as if he was trying to imitate a child's voice.
What are you doing up, little buddy? You should be in bed at this time of night.
I gulped and backed away slowly, looking for something to defend myself with. The man took a step towards me, and then I knew I had to act fast. I ran towards the front door, my heart pounding so hard I thought it was going to burst out of my chest. But just as I was about to reach for the door, the man grabbed my arm and stopped me in my tracks, pulling me to the floor.
Oh, no, no, no. You're going with me now. Don't you want to play?
No, I don't want to play. Please go away. I'm afraid.
No. What are you afraid of, little buddy? We're just two kids wanting to have fun. Why don't we play a game? Later, I promise to leave.
Will you really leave?
Of course. Best friend promise.
Oh, okay. What do you want to play?
My favorite game is hide and seek. We can play all night. Oh boy. What's wrong with you?
I'm scared.
Don't be afraid. It's just a game. You'll hide and I'll look for you. You have 1 minute. If I don't find you, you win. If I find you, I'll tie you to a chair, and you'll see how I killed Mom and Dad.
What?
First, I'll break Dad's legs. Then I'll beat Mom until she's almost passed out. And when I'm done, I'll chop them both up while you watch. You want to know what I'll do next?
Please, let me go.
Then I'll kidnap you and lock you in my basement. And you know what I'll do to you? Do you know what I'll do to you?
No.
Nothing. I'll leave you in the basement and never give you food or water. You'll die, and no one will know where you are. Isn't that great, my little friend? Why are you doing this? You should know. We're both kids, and we both like to have fun. Or don't you like hide and seek? Now go, run! I'll start counting.
Desperate, I ran as fast as I could. I thought about running away from the house anyway. He had his back turned, but if I did that, he would surely kill my parents when they came back. I decided to play his game and go hide. I went to my parents' room, the place where I always hid when I played alone. I was going to go behind the curtain, under the bed, in the closet, but all those places were so obvious, I was sure to be found. I thought and thought as much as I could, but nothing came to my mind, until it occurred to me. I moved one of the pieces of furniture that was in a corner, and I stood behind it. There was no way he could see me there. I put the furniture back and hid. Now, I just had to wait. Seconds passed, and I could hear the man coming. And that's when it hit me. The light. I never turned off the light. All the rooms were turned off before. He will surely notice. I thought about going to turn off the light, but it was too late. I could hear him approaching, humming a children's song. He was getting closer and closer, and as soon as he saw the lights on, he realized I was there.
Little friend, unless this is just to distract me, I must confess, you started the game wrong.
Once he was inside the room, the psycho started looking for me everywhere. He kicked the bed, broke the curtains, destroyed everything he saw in his path. There was only one place left to check, and he approached it laughing as if he knew I was there. The man approached in slow motion as if enjoying every second before meeting me. He had no reason to think I was hiding behind that piece of furniture, but he seemed to know it perfectly. When I saw that he was about to arrive, fear overcame me, and I closed my eyes, praying that he would just go away. I spent seconds with my eyes closed, and he didn't come closer. Was he gone? I opened them for just a moment, and there he was. His face was staring at me over the top of the cabinet. He had a big, innocent, boyish grin on his face, and he looked so happy to have found me. As soon as he saw me, I tried to run to another room, but he easily grabbed me and put me against the wall.
You lost.
I used all my strength to escape, but I couldn't. We're talking about an adult who looked like a child. There was no way I could overcome him with brute strength. As if in ecstasy of having caught me, the man pulled out a knife and showed it to me, as if to indicate that this was what awaited me. I screamed as loud as I could. I knew it was useless, but I had to do it. And to my surprise, it worked. Suddenly, I heard the door and my parents came running to protect me. Once they got to the room, I was alone on the floor. Had the man left? My parents hugged me, crying. They didn't look for my attacker and didn't seem confused about what was happening. Just sad. As soon as they finished hugging me, they took me to the hospital to treat my wounds. I told them that there was a man dressed as a boy in the house, but they seemed to ignore me and only responded by looking at me in such a way as if they felt pity. At the time, I didn't understand what was going on, but over the years, I did. It's been 10 years since I suffered that traumatic event at my home. You know, I've suffered many more like it. That man dressed as a boy is always harassing me. He shows up when I least expect it, and he always tries to hurt me. Do you know when he stopped showing up? When I started taking the medication the doctors gave me. My name is Jared, and I have multiple personality disorder. My other personality may not be as developed as mine, but I know that another person lives inside my head. The story I just told you was exactly as I remember it. But that's not really what happened. The truth is that there is someone of mine who wants to kill me. And that night was not the first time it happened, but it was just the one I remembered the most. Today, as long as I take my medication, I feel much safer. But you know that person is still inside me, waiting. Waiting for me to be weak. Waiting for me not to take my medication. Waiting for me to make any mistake that he can take advantage of, to come out and get rid of me. Most kids get excited at the possibility of a night alone without parent supervision. Usually that means staying up late, watching scary movies, and eating junk food. That's what I envisioned that night in October, as I pleaded and negotiated with my parents. I'm 11 years old now, I said as if I were a mature adult. I don't need a babysitter. Please? My parents were going out of town for a work-related night out, and after a lot of pleading, begging, and immature whining, they budged and allowed me to stay home alone. It's only one night, my dad whispered to my worried mom in a consoling tone. He'll be all right. I ran to my room, excited for the upcoming night of unsupervised fun. It wouldn't take long for that excitement to morph into panic and terror, as it became the worst night of my life. Before long, my mom was kissing me goodbye and smiling worriedly.
You call us if you need anything. Anything at all. Got it?
Yes, Mom.
I rolled my eyes. I placed my glass of ice water on the coffee table in the living room and let my mom embrace me. We finished our goodbyes, and before long, the door was closed. I was alone, unsupervised, for the first time in my life. Fear began to creep into the pit of my stomach. What if something bad actually happened? Who would I call? What would I do? I heard my parents' car pull out of the driveway, and the tingle fear became stronger, flooding into my head. I ran upstairs to my bedroom window that gave me a clear view of the front of the house. My parents were still in the driveway, pulling out. I watched them, forehead against the glass, as rain began to fall on the window, obscuring my view of their car driving away. Their car grew distant, smaller and smaller. They turned left at the end of our street, and they were gone. I stayed frozen, face against the glass. I regretted asking to stay alone. What if there was an emergency? What if I burned the house down? My eyes became heavy with tears. I continued to stare out of the window for minutes, hoping their car would reappear, turn into our street and into our driveway, where they'd tell me their event was canceled and they'd stay home with me. The light post in the corner of the street flickered on, breaking me out of my daze. It was getting dark.
Okay,
I whispered to myself. If I don't do anything stupid, I should be fine. I began to move away from the window when something caused me to turn back. Under the light post, two figures turned the corner and walked toward my end of the street. They wore black sweaters and pants. One looked paranoid. He looked around constantly while the other hit his arm and gestured to keep him looking forward. I stared as the panic began to set in again.
Are they coming here?
No way. That'd be ridiculous, right?
The figures passed the first house on the street. They passed the second one. They passed the third. My house was next.
Keep walking,
I whispered in a trembling voice. But they didn't keep walking. The pair of men stopped right in front of my house as one gestured at the empty driveway. They argued. The rain began to come down harder. They approached my front door. I could hear my heart beating in my chest now. I let out a small yelp as the doorbell rang.
What did they want? Why are they here?
I came down the stairs quietly and stood over the welcome mat by the entrance. I stared at the door as the door chimed again. I pressed my ear close to the cold wooden door. I could hear them now.
You see? One said. There's no one here. I saw them carrying luggage into their car and saw them drive off. They're not coming back for the night.
I don't know, man,
said the other, tone oozing with paranoia.
Shut up,
the other one said. The door handle began to jiggle violently. I pressed my hands close to my mouth to suppress a scream.
Fuck it,
the paranoid one said.
Let's just go through the window and get off the street. Everyone can see us.
Before I had time to react, the window next to the door exploded, causing shards of glass to rain onto the hardwood floor. Without time to think, I sprinted upstairs.
This cannot be happening,
I repeated to myself as I glided up the stairs as quietly as possible.
I glanced back downstairs as I turned into my parents' bedroom. A body emerged from the shattered window, causing my stomach to drop. I shut the door and rushed under the bed. Had they seen me? Did they hear the door clicking shut? Did they know I was here? I laid on my stomach, my mind assuming the worst. From my hiding spot, I stared at the small slit of light under the door. Glass shattering broke out from downstairs. The scratching of furniture being dragged across the floor followed. And finally, voices broke out.
"Someone's here,"
said a calm but firm voice. "What? How do you know?" said another, fear surrounding every word.
"This water. It's cold. There's still ice in it."
Under the bed, I broke out in cold sweat after hearing those words. I focused to hear anything else, but nothing followed. The silence was deafening. Minutes passed of complete silence that felt like an eternity. Suddenly, the soft and subtle cracking of the wood floor creaked. The soft click of a door being shut quietly followed. They were in my room. I stared at the slit of light under the door. The creaking continued, crescendoing and nearing. My panic grew. My fear became a reality. Two dark spots suddenly appeared under the door, blocking the bright strip of light coming from outside my parents' room. They were here. The door opened slowly. I could now see two pairs of feet under the threshold.
"I know you're here," said a calm voice. It sounded taunting and playful.
"You can come out. We won't hurt you,"
the other voice snickered. Unmoving, I stared as the two men separated. They went around the perimeter of the bed, and I quickly lost sight of one. The other stood directly in front of me. I could have reached out and grabbed his shoelace.
"I wonder where he is," said the one in front of me. "Is he in the closet? Behind the curtains? Or perhaps he may be under the bed."
As he said the last word, a pair of hands grabbed my ankles and began pulling me. I shrieked in terror, but an enormous hand covered my mouth. I struggled, kicked and flailed to no avail. Two enormous arms engulfed me, leaving me immobile. The man that had stood in front of me approached.
"Sleep," he whispered.
He brought a moist cloth and placed it over my mouth and nose. Everything began to go dark. Seconds later, I lost consciousness. I woke up in a dark and damp room. I laid on cold cement over a thin blanket. My body ached. My mouth was incredibly dry. I sat up, groggy, and my eyes adjusted to the dim light. A single light bulb hung from a wire in the middle of the room that was void of any windows or decorations. I scanned the perimeter, trying to orient myself with no success. In the corner of the room, a flight of stairs led up. Minutes passed when a loud pop rang from above. Muffled screaming broke out, and banging and crashing followed. I recoiled and curled up on the ground, covering the back of my head with my hands. The scuffle overhead intensified as a series of loud pops continued. Then, complete and total silence. A minute passed, and the silence was broken. The loud creak of a heavy door being opened echoed through the damp room. I shut my eyes tight, ready for more pain. "Mike," came a strong voice. "Mike, are you in here?" I remained silent.
"This is Police Officer Gordon. I'm here to help."
I looked up, gave out a cry of acknowledgement, and felt hope for the first time in days. Tears flowed from my mom's eyes as she hugged me tightly after being reunited at the police station. For what seemed like an eternity, my parents both embraced me in the detective's office. I could have stayed in their embrace forever. Finally, Officer Gordon explained that the pair of burglars had been watching my house for days. They noticed my parents left with luggage, and they assumed they would be gone for an extended period of time. As soon as they drove off, they pounced at the opportunity of an empty house, ready for looting. But when they discovered I was there, they were unsure of what to do. I was a hiccup in their plan. They drugged me and placed me in the basement of their house.
However, as they carried my unconscious body and placed it in the back of their truck that was hidden around the corner of our street, a camera atop the light post caught their license plate. The very next day, my parents arrived, and before minutes, my house was full of detectives and police officers. After some digging around, the lamppost camera footage was used to locate my kidnappers. Decades have passed since that horrible day, and I am eternally thankful that that camera was placed on top of that lamppost. I sometimes think of what horrible fate would have followed if that footage hadn't been discovered.